Texas, America, and the world. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined today by Greg Felton of Vancouver, Canada. Greg is the author of The Host and the Parasite, How Israel's Fifth Column Consumed America. That is a Dandelion Books publication. That's Carol Adler's company in Tempe, Arizona. We've been talking in the first part of the show with Greg about the Security and Prosperity Partnership Arrangement for North American Union. At an earlier point in the show, I was reading Philip Giraldi's piece at antiwar.com today entitled Neolibs and Neocons, United and Interchangeable. Folks, you look at the major politicians running for president in both of the Republican and Democratic parties, and it becomes abundantly clear what's happening. And if you put that side by side with what Greg has sent me today, which is Robert Pastor's presentation in November of 2002 to the Trilateral Commission on this whole business of a North American Union, it becomes abundantly clear that there's an end game here and that the end game is world government. Joe, are you still on the line with us? I guess Joe dropped off. I wanted to say...
Hello? I think you're still there, Mark.
You still there, Joe?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, I wanted to say something, Joe, about this whole business of Romans chapter 13. Greg has alluded to some of this already. I think it's absolutely instructive to see the way in which the 13th chapter of the Apostle Paul's epistle to the Romans was utilized by the institutional German church during the Hitler period to justify the absolute acquiescence of the institutional church to what Adolf Hitler was doing, and even to be used, obviously, as an instrument for the legitimization of his agenda. I think the same thing is clearly happening today with the so-called Christian religious right. Now, keep in mind that I am an evangelical Christian of Orthodox Lutheran persuasion, and yet when I look at what is happening with Mr. Bush and the way in which he's used people like John Hagee as his religious front man and his religious spokesman, it becomes abundantly clear that Bush is looking for conservative Christians who are largely ignorant of the real issues to give Bush and Cheney and the American corporatist scheme and the Zionist movement a theocratic aura. I think that much is very clear. And in regard to Romans chapter 13, I wanted to mention something to you, Joe. I belong to the Evangelical Theological Society, and in the past, reference has been made in their journal, which is a very fine academic journal, some of the best people in that movement writing for some of the best academic institutions in the country contribute some things that are very much worthwhile there. But there is an essay that's quite dated, but it's still excellent, by a guy named Marcus Borg, B-O-R-G. I don't know if you can access the thing online or not. I have a print copy somewhere in my notes because I'm doing some lecturing on this subject right now at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in South San Antonio. But Marcus Borg has an essay on the 13th chapter of the book of Romans that I think goes a long way to absolutely destroying the poor exegesis and poor academic and historical scholarship that is being used by these average pulpit pastors and the Christian right in this country to support what, in my judgment, is essentially a neo-fascist agenda. So if you can find that essay, Joe, it'll be very, very helpful. Marcus Borg, B-O-R-G, is the author. I don't know the title of it, but it deals with Romans 13. And Borg, by the way, has some ideas about New Testament scholarship in other areas that are not my ideas at all. But his piece on Romans 13, I think, is particularly outstanding. We'll be back. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We return with Greg Felton. And if he's still there, Joe in Florida. Stay tuned.
Well,
Morning, neighbor.
Hey, shouldn't you be at work?
I am. As a matter of fact, I pulled another all-nighter.
What do you mean?
Well, I'm working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Well, at least I'm making money 24/7, but I never have to go to work.
So what do you do?
Not very much at all now. About a month ago, I heard about this website. It's got a funny name. It's DidYouRobBillGates.com.
That is funny.
Yeah, you can earn $1,200 to $12,000 a week starting the very first week.
Oh, is that how you bought that new mower?
Yeah, and the motorcycle I've always wanted, too. You should log on. Find out how you can become financially free.
So what was that website?
It's www.DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Just wait, I'll go get a pen so I can write that down.
You don't need to write it down. It's easy to remember. DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Yeah, DidYouRobBillGates.com. That is easy.
It's easy, and the money is awesome.
Take the heat out of your sleep. The Bedfan Personal Cooling System will work for anyone that is a hot sleeper, regardless of the reason. It gives you a deep, restful sleep, the way nature intended. No more tossing and turning. Say goodbye to sleepless nights. So ask yourself, are you a hot sleeper and really want to sleep cooler? A woman who suffers from the effects of menopause, including night sweats derived from hot flashes, have a medical condition that causes your body to get hot at night, or just want to save money on your air conditioning bill? It works instantly. No tools or assembly required. Don't worry. The bed fan fits short beds, tall beds, beds with footboards, sleigh beds, water beds, and many other types of beds. If you want great relief and total comfort, give us a call at 1-210-632-8280. That's 1-210-632-8280. Or visit our site at bedfan.com, your provider for great sleep.
Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health.
This is Mark Antox America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined today by Greg Felton of Vancouver. He is the author of The Host and the Parasite, How Israel's Fifth Column Consumed America. We've been talking about a series of things with Greg this morning, including the whole business of the Security and Prosperity Partnership Arrangement for a North American Union. Keep an eye on what's going on in Canada, folks, as of tomorrow, where Mr. Bush is traveling for some relatively secret conversations about this whole business of the North American Union. Who and what's behind it? I'm reading a little bit today from what Dr. Robert Pastor has said on the subject at the American University in Washington, D.C. His name has cropped up from time to time at WorldNet Daily as one of the major globalist pushers for this North American Union. If you look at what Pastor has said to the Trilateral Commission in Canada going back to November of 2002, it becomes abundantly clear that there's something going on here that has nothing to do with what used to be the America First agenda of the old right before it was hijacked by world Zionism and neoconservatives and globalists. That's my final take on that. I was mentioning also before we went to the last commercial break to Joe in Florida, I was mentioning the article by Marcus Borg, B-O-R-G. That piece goes back to 1973, as near as I can tell. It is entitled A New Context for Romans 13. That can be found in New Testament Studies, Volume 19, pages 205 through 218. That's Marcus Borg, 1973. A New Context for Romans 13 is the title of the piece. It's in the New Testament Studies Journal, Volume 19, pages 205 to 218. I don't know if there's anywhere online where one can obtain that article, but that, at least in principle, is the goal to shoot for. If one can get a hold of what Marcus Borg has to say on the subject, it will be well worth your time, Joe. We have another caller in Delaware for Greg Felton. Paul, go ahead, sir.
Hello?
Paul. Yes, Paul, you there?
Yeah, I guess yes. I'm here right now. Yeah, I wanted to, you know, I don't know what to say. I've been doing this thinking and really thinking and being honest with oneself for the last 12 years. And I'm sitting here listening that it's the Jews, and it's very convincing, but there's only one problem. If the Jews are this small minority, extremely racist group, which they are very extremely racist, if they are, they're a very small minority. And throughout history, we have been hearing, I mean, look at all, every culture's history, it's always the Jew that has been their problem. Now, if they're so small, and we recognize what the so-called problem is, I'm sick and tired of why it hasn't been solved yet. But my point is, it's not the Jew. Yes, the Jew is a kind of like a George Bush or a Bill Clinton. He's like the face on the package. But when you look at what's really going on, it's always where you're supposed to point to. And, of course, the Jews themselves are totally convinced that they control things, because if you go on these Yahoo Jew chat rooms, all you can hear is Jews talking about how Alan Greenspan at one time was Federal Reserve, this and that, and in Hollywood, look who we got here, and look who we've got in the banking, look who we've got in the administration. And see, this is how the deception goes. Even the Jews are fully deceived. But if you look throughout history, another key point that you'll see is from history that they like to readily tell people about, you see that there has always been a problem in the so-called Holy Land, which there's nothing holy about it. But in there, you see that all the major world's religions are all conflicting. And see, this is kind of like being a Democrat and a Republican. You know, these cult groups, they always war with one another, because it's not about facts, documentation, and intelligent thinking. It's about their belief. And the belief will always defend itself, and a belief cannot really defend itself, but so-called, so they say it can. And so we have these conflicts. And so two key points. First of all, even up into the 21st century, that still same conflict of world religions over a so-called holy land, and everyone is caught up in it, even the Jews, because even the Jews have been convinced that they are special and everyone else is cattle. But the point is, people need to realize that it is about breeding at one level. And the Jews have wired themselves up to a really out-of-control, dangerous cult group, but they're no different than the Christians or the Democrats or the Republican cult group, because most people, the whole fabric of their existence and life is about a belief. It's not about any substance, and they're superficial. I'm walking down the street, and I'm looking at television, and I'm seeing fake everything. And I heard a guy say on the streets of New York, he said, America is about images and witchcraft. And when he said that, I really got to wonder, because when you hear that word Hollywood is what Merlin the magician used as his magic wand. And it was always used to so-called get someone to believe in whatever they wanted to sell them. And that's the thing about being a human being, too. You have to be honest. Man, I'm running into people that call themselves religious. Guess what? They're in for a rude awakening one day. But you've got to be honest with oneself, and you've got to tell the truth. So I would just tell people, when you talk about the Mexicans, When you go and kick them off their land and you war and kill them and bloodshed, and then you kick them off Texas and California, and then you call them illegal immigrants on their own territory at one time, not saying that they own it, even though the Jews so-called claim the Holy Land. But anyway, on and on this ridiculousness goes, and I would love to get a show because I will stop all this nonsense and get real results. Because I've been hearing talk radio for a long time, and unless people just like to hear lullaby bedtime stories and to hear their self talk, this is a waste of time. You know what I mean? I'm starting to look at radio now as a network marketing cult group. It's like paranoia, fear, buy our product, and this is the way we're going to promote it. And then when someone like me wants a show, they won't have me, but they'll have someone at some elementary level taking up some good solid airtime, and I'm just fed up with Republic and everything else. So I think that's what I want to say for today.
Thanks, Paul. Greg, you have a response?
Yeah, I think I liked about Paul's comment is just the anger and the honest emotion that he showed. I'd like to correct one thing about Jews. I mean, the problem with using the word Jew as a collective tends to not to make a proper distinction among Zionist Jews and liberal Jews, bearing in mind, of course, that during Hitler's reign, it was the Zionist Jews who collaborated with the Nazis, helped purge Europe of its European culture, and created Israel. And it's the Zionist Jews that are forcing upon the United States the fascist worldview, much against the wishes of honorable Jews who simply adhere to the standard American liberalism that they traditionally have belonged to. I mean, as far as Jewishness goes, the fighting in the United States and in the Middle East has less to do about religion than it has to do about simply controlling land for its own sake. I mean, people hide behind the Bible, they hide behind the Tanakh, they hide behind the New Testament, and they hide behind all sorts of other religious scripture. But it's all propaganda, and it's all used instrumentally. And
so, Greg, what you essentially see in that area, then, is where you have some sort of a so-called religious or theocratic aura used to legitimize what is largely an economic and power agenda.
And this is, again, what Leo Strauss argued. And this is why Chapter 2 of my book, I go into detail about the corruption and the perversity of Leo Strauss and how he managed to pollute political theory with religious superstition, and particularly how he misrepresented John Locke, probably the greatest progenitor of the American Constitution, the West English theoretician who wrote the Second Treatise on Government, for example, and that it's argued that Thomas Jefferson virtually plagiarized it when he wrote the Declaration of Independence. Because Locke is the great intellectual progenitor of the U.S., and what Leo Strauss does to Locke is just criminal. And he just misrepresents Locke all over Hell's Half Acre, and he does so in a way that makes it justifiable to merge religion and politics, and in such a way as to control the minds of the great mass of people out there, who, as Polk rightly pointed out, are kept in a state of perpetual paranoia and fear so that they will turn to their leaders for protection. This is the same corruption that the Catholic Church used in the Middle Ages. Because one of the problems the Catholic Church had during good economic times is that people really didn't want to pay too much attention because they were having too much fun having fun. And so the Church has always had a vested interest in telling people how miserable they are, how worthless their lives are, how they're going to go to hell if they don't do as they're told. So people have to be kept in a state of perpetual, if not misery, perpetual disease. And this is why, because it's only for this reason that a church or a great autocratic organization can force people to believe that they need the organization for their own happiness. And it's the cult of, it is a religious cult. This is why I've written my book the way I did, because the economic propagandists who are running the show now are essentially econo-theologians. And it's the perverse merging of Christian theology and economic selfishness or unenlightened self-interest that is driving the United States, Canada, and Mexico to the brink of economic disaster and political servitude.
We'll be back with Greg Felton. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. When we come back, we'll take a look at Mike Whitney's piece entitled "The Grim Reaper Pays a Visit to Wall Street." Stay tuned.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes 4 books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Dankos America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our guest today is Greg Felton, the author of The Host and the Parasite, How Israel's Fifth Column Consumed America. That is a Dandelion Books publication. That's Carol Adler's company in Tempe, Arizona. Tomorrow, Hesham Talawi will join me for 1 hour from 9 to 10 a.m. Central. We'll be talking about Dr. Talawi's recent trip to Palestine. He, of course, made a wonderful presentation, I understand, in Sandpoint, Idaho a couple of weeks ago, along with Mark Glenn and Michael Collins Piper up there at that conference. Hesham is gracious enough to give my listeners an hour of his time tomorrow from 9 to 10 a.m. in regard to the specifics of that trip to Palestine. We're with Greg today. We've been talking about a series of issues pertaining to the North American Union and the Security and Prosperity Partnership arrangement for that North American Union. We're now going to turn to something else that Greg thought we might chat about a little bit this morning, and that's Mike Whitney's piece at Online Journal entitled "The Grim Reaper Pays a Visit to Wall Street." Greg, I've noticed in recent days in the London Financial Times, you can't pick up that example of corporate media without seeing plenty of front-page reference to nervousness on the part of central banks as it pertains to this whole business of hedge funds and the mortgage subprime lending scandal that was tied up with many of these hedge funds. What, in your reading of this Whitney article, is behind all of this? Where is it taking us?
Well, the subprime lending scandal has created what's called a liquidity crisis. There's too much, there's not enough money in circulation to back up all the debt that is being lent out. And we're having, again, as I said last week, we're having a scenario that is analogous in some way to the economic disaster that happened in 1930 when the banks began to fail because people couldn't make their margin calls. People could put 10% down on a stock. They could buy all the stock because they figured, hey, it's going to go up. What do I care? I don't care how much money I have to borrow to spend to buy stock. And the banks were extended on this. Companies were lending money as bankers. And they found that all the stocks were, when the stocks fell, they lost their equity. They had no cash. They folded. And we're having a scenario similar to that now in the States where we have people lending money for very speculative operations, trying to make a lot of money very fast. But this is at the very high end of the financial scale. The average person is not buying subprime stocks and subprime mortgages. These are major investment groups that are buying these because the people putting the money into that figure they can make a whack of money on people who aren't very good credit risks. What I find interesting, though, about Mike Whitney's article is the degree to which the United States' debt is owned by foreign governments. According to the Whitney article, China has $1.3 trillion of U.S. paper. That means they own $1.3 trillion of the U.S. debt. That's a little more than a third of the entire national debt. It's about a sixth of it, because it's about $8.2 trillion now. About $8.2. China owns about $1.3. That's a lot of debt. The same way that the Saudis owed a lot of debt in the 1980s because they banked for a lot of American misadventures in Afghanistan and in the Middle East. So the people who own our money, who own America's debt, they pretty well control what America does. And as Whitney points out very, very nicely, the stranglehold that China has on the United States should give Congress great pause, because if they decide to put up barriers to trade or punish China in any way, then all China has to do is dump its American dollars and buy something else, and the American dollar goes right into the dumper.
And that leads us to what Paul Craig Roberts was saying in his most recent post on that very thing, Greg. It's entitled "China's Nuclear Option to Dump the Dollar is Real." Roberts apparently thinks that this is the ace in the hole when it comes to the Chinese check of American imperial ambitions in the Middle East and elsewhere.
Yeah, and he's quite right. I mean, the United States has had a very poor economy for decades. I mean, it's been essentially allowing other countries to buy up its debt securities so the United States can spend ridiculous amounts of money on misbegotten military ventures, and now they've managed to find themselves indebted or indentured to the people who bought the paper. And you're going to find the United States is not going to be able to it's not going to rule the world the way it used to. Even right now, America has no friends. It has merely Israel, which is the real boss of the United States. And it has countries that rely on America for trade or for favors. America has no friends. And that could not be said 50 years ago. But America did have friends. America is going to hawk up to its eyeballs, and it's going to get whacked.
We'll be back with Greg Felton and also with a caller from Texas when Mark Dankos America returns live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Take the heat out of your sleep. The Bedfan Personal Cooling System will work for anyone that is a hot sleeper, regardless of the reason. It gives you a deep, restful sleep, the way nature intended. No more tossing and turning. Say goodbye to sleepless nights. So ask yourself, are you a hot sleeper and really want to sleep cooler? A woman who suffers from the effects of menopause, including night sweats derived from hot flashes, have a medical condition that causes your body to get hot at night, or just want to save money on your air conditioning bill? It works instantly. No tools or assembly required. Don't worry. The Bedfan fits short beds, tall beds, beds with footboards, sleigh beds, water beds, and many other types of beds. If you want great relief and total comfort, give us a call at 1-210-632-8280. That's 1-210-632-8280. Or visit our site at bedfan.com. Your provider for great sleep.
Why continue suffering from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people are reporting improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no reported side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Just don't treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions, and it's very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call BioSolutions toll free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that number, 866-885-6625.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Mark Dankos America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined today by Greg Felton of Vancouver. He is the author of The Host and the Parasite, How Israel's Fifth Column Consumed America. That is a Dandelion Books publication. That's Carol Adler's company in Tempe, Arizona. We have a caller for Greg, Phil in Texas. Go ahead, Phil. Phil, you there? I guess he's sure.
I don't think he's there, Mark.
Yeah, my technician is trying to see if he can't bring him up.
Oh, there he is.
Got him?
Hello.
Yes, Phil. You're on with Greg Felton. Go ahead, Phil.
Okay, I have three questions. One's for you and two for your guests.
Okay. I hope the one you give me is easy. Go ahead.
Well, okay. Well, by the way, I'm in San Antonio, and it has something to do with your church, so I'll get to you in a bit.
Okay.
My first question is, your guest mentioned about a civil war. Now, I mean, does he really see that the United States is leading up to this? Because being an individual that is, you know, leading my daily life here, you know, I see basically that people were just asleep. And I don't know what it's going to take to wake them up. Do you think it will be a draft? Do you think the economy collapse? Or what does your guest think about that?
Well, that's a very good point. You're right. A lot of people are going through life in a fog, anesthetized, completely distracted by a media that seems to be more interested in foisting pornography, infotainment, and sports and reality television on them. And so people are walking through in a rather, almost like in a sleepwalk, in a trance. But at some point, I mean, I have to think, and I mentioned this to Mark, I don't know how much it will take. I don't know when it will happen. But at some point, there has to be some button that gets pushed. The American public says enough is enough. And if that means losing their sovereignty to a supranational economic union, that might be it. It might be when people start banging on doors in the middle of the night, more so than they are now, treating this like Nazi Germany, where the state had absolute control, people had no rights against the state, and people were being thrown in jail. It might take a guerrilla action, might take a small-scale uprising. I don't know what it will take. But ultimately, it happened in Stalinist Russia, it happened in Nazi Germany, and it happened in Chile. And we're going to find that the United States, because it does not exist as a republic now, people who do take up arms or to take up measures against the state can do so quite freely without fear that they're attacking their constitution. I don't know what it will take. I really don't know, but I'm just thinking that the United States doesn't exist anymore. It's been thoroughly in. Yeah.
Okay. And my next question is the debt that the United States has and the trade disadvantage that we have with China. How did the U.S. get into this predicament? Is it because of our politicians? Is it because of corporate greed, or a combination of the both, or is it a conspiracy plan? Obviously, you could see they knew, they had to have known what they were getting into. It's basic economics.
Well, they did, but unfortunately, the United States doesn't have very good economists. I mean, normally you'd have a country that has a number of goods and services it sells, and it manages to finance its national operating budget out of that. But the problem for the United States is that the great way to raise money is through consumer spending. And consumer spending is not the way to base an economy, because all that means is that people are spending money to buy things that they don't necessarily need. And you have to continually find money to manufacture more goods and services to keep up an endless supply for an insatiable demand. The United States has essentially been running its economy on the retail sector for too long. And it just doesn't have a modern enough workforce, a modern enough infrastructure to meet all the demands for its people. The United States has no real economic theory. It's simply buy, 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 and make more and more and more stuff. And it doesn't have the money to do it, so it sells debt securities to underwrite the economy. Foreign countries buy them up, and the United States lives on borrowed money. And that's what's been happening for far too long. I mean, every country does it to some degree, but the United States is probably the worst offender because it has been superseded by many Asian countries who are far more efficient, more modern, and more intellectually savvy. Because the U.S. is lazy, it's got a complacent infrastructure, it doesn't want to modernize, and it thinks the whole world owes it a living. The United States has been acting like this for far too long, and now it can't compete. And it has to borrow to survive. And it can't keep borrowing forever.
Okay. And, Mark, my question for you is, as far as churches go, I've been one of those individuals that I have trouble going to church, and I don't know if you call it laziness or what, but what I find...
I tell you what, I'm a pastor, and sometimes I've had trouble going to church, so go ahead.
Okay, but what I find, though, is you go, and it doesn't matter where I go, it's the same thing over and over. It's something that I already know, and it's basically what you hear is God loves you and love your fellow man, but I'm not hearing the other things that are being mentioned out there, such as things that are being discussed right here on your show. And that, I guess maybe that's what gets me, is tell me something I don't know. You know what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're saying, Phil, and you're striking at the heart of my own frustration as a pastor with the institutional church. And this does dovetail with some of the things that Greg has been sharing with us about what happened in Nazi Germany. To me, much of this begins, I think, with the 501c3 IRS tax status for most churches. And because of that fact, many, if not most, pastors are reluctant, if not downright against, discussing any political or social or cultural things as they relate to a biblical perspective. So they're afraid to do it. They want to maintain peace in their congregations at any cost. They want to maintain a friendly relationship with the federal government and the tax authorities. And therefore, you have a situation where there's a quiet acquiescence to the general trends in American culture. It's a highly dangerous development, and I think it dovetails with something else. And that is that as our entire culture has been oriented toward mass media and mass entertainment and a lot of thoughtlessness, there are fewer and fewer people out there who are like yourself. You have a desire, obviously, to read and to study and to think and to be looking for answers to critical questions. Unfortunately, the institutional church has failed people like you. You know, you go to, and it doesn't matter what the denominational label is, 99 times out of 100 or better, someone like you or me goes into a congregation and you hear a message or you hear a Sunday school lesson that's based in platitudes, and you leave there feeling that you've derived absolutely nothing of substance or insight whatsoever. It's a trend that absolutely drives me crazy, and one of the things that I've attempted to do where I am is in my classes, for example, at Emmanuel Lutheran Church. We're looking right now at the issues of prophecy and Christian Zionism and how well or how poorly that stacks up with what Christian orthodoxy has said historically on these matters. We cover a series of other controversial situations that we feel need to be looked at from a biblical perspective. And one of the things that really is striking to me about the so-called conservative churches in America, and I suspect that this would be true in Canada too, Greg could affirm this one way or the other, it's my impression that in the United States, you have a lot of traditional Christian churches who are willing to talk about what they believe the Bible teaches on one or two or three social topics, but when it comes to the what we're doing in the Middle East, or when it comes to the Mr. Bush's war on terror, or when it comes to what is being done by our Homeland Security Department, or whether or not the United States is moving in the direction of a police state, you'll never hear pastors discussing, for the most part, never hear pastors discussing those kinds of things in their classes or from the pulpit. And I believe that, of course, the essential thing for any Christian pastor to be doing is, yes, to proclaim the gospel of forgiveness of sin in Jesus Christ. That is absolutely paramount. That must always be the mission of the biblically oriented church that has any connection to the confessing Church of Christ throughout history. I'm not advocating a degeneration of the church into getting on some social or political bandwagon, but on the other hand, it seems to me that a confessional and biblical worldview requires that pastors and congregations prayerfully and tactfully and in love examine tough issues and talk about tough things in their Sunday school classes and engender discussion on some of these topics from a variety of different perspectives that actually cause people to think about their own faith and to think about what the scriptures and what their own confessional tradition is saying to them in regard to what they should believe about the larger political and cultural and social context in which we live. And, Phil, you're talking about an intellectual vapidity and vacuousness on the part of most of our churches that absolutely dovetails with my own frustrations as a pastor.
Mark, can I make one more comment?
Sure.
If you don't mind, I'll hang up, and I know other people are probably waiting. But
no, you're fine. Go ahead.
Okay, well, because if I look at the Old Testament and I look at how God dealt with the Israelites at that time, he dealt with social issues. If there was moral corruption or whatever it was, he basically, I mean, if you look at some of the things they did, I mean, if I can put it simply, these other nations that surround you will corrupt you, they morally, or whatever the case may be, and they went out and they fought. Do you know what I'm saying? They fought whatever corruption, if you can put it that way, that was there. They were not passive, I guess.
And at great personal cost, with the prophet Jeremiah being just one example.
Yes, and I that's crossed my mind, and I just want to see. Do you know where I'm coming from in this?
I know. I feel, Phil, like I know exactly where you're coming from, because I think what you're talking about is something that Jeremiah himself mentions in the Book of Lamentations. I believe it's chapter 2, verse 8.
I've read that book and read it, and to me it kind of like speaks to our nation. That's how I feel.
Well, absolutely, and I think it's chapter 2, verse 8, where Jeremiah, in reference to what has befallen Judah, says something to the effect of, "Her kings and princes are among the Gentiles, the law is no more, and her prophets find no vision from the Lord." And the universal analysis and condemnation that Jeremiah issues in regard to what has befallen Judah and why it has befallen Judah, to me, very much speaks to the present dangers in this so-called American Republic. And Greg Felton has been talking about these things in recent weeks on the show. Here we have a nation, meaning the United States. We are absolutely consumed by public and private debt. We have a level of moral decadence and lawlessness unlike anything I think we've seen in previous eras in our country. We see all kinds of people in the religious establishment in the United States giving a theocratic aura to the agenda of leaders that I think are clinically evil, that are not promoting the interest of the average American at all, and we find ourselves constantly having to fight foreign wars where it seems that our leadership is dredging up a new foreign enemy every 5 minutes to justify in the minds of the public continued allegiance to domestic political leadership that has lost any degree of constitutional or moral credibility whatsoever. And that to me is the bottom line on this whole thing. It is a terrifying phenomenon to watch.
Okay. Well, thank you. I enjoyed the conversation, and I do listen. So hopefully I can pay a visit to your church eventually. Thank you.
Hey, God bless, Phil. We're at 130 Saipan Place. That's in South San Antonio. If you take I-35, well, if you're coming from the northern part of San Antonio, take I-35 south, get off on the Southwest Military Drive exit, turn left, going east on Southwest Military Drive, then make a right turn on Pleasanton, and continue until you get to Saipan. And my classes, which might be of particular value to you, Phil, are held on Sunday mornings at 9:15. And Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. And we definitely deal with scripture and with the text and with church history, but do not shy away from legitimate conversation about the social and political and economic topics of the day. I think you'd enjoy it there. Dan in Texas, you're on the line for Greg Felton. Go ahead, Dan. Dan, you there?
Yes, sir, right here. Glad to enjoy your show. So you mentioned you're the Lutheran denomination?
Yes, sir.
What is the Lutheran denomination of the Missouri Synod and the ECLA and the Wisconsin Synod, as it was I was going to call about, and which one do you support?
Well, here's the scoop on this. That's a complicated question, and the reason that it is I'm presently serving a Missouri Synod Lutheran congregation on the south side of San Antonio. My clergy credentials are in a smaller Lutheran synod called the Lutheran Ministerium and Synod USA. So I am basically a traditional Orthodox confessional Lutheran pastor who is even hopefully evangelical in spirit. So that's that. You can find my synod at lmsusa.org. But of the major...
Hello?
Hello, you there?
Yeah, sorry, I lost you for a while. I'm back. Hello?
Oh, that's great. This is Dan. This is Greg Felton calling. I think we've lost our host.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so this is quite interesting.
Hey, is he on the internet? The internet's off, too.
Yeah. I'm afraid I can't speak to Lutheranism since I'm not a pastor or very religious in that regard. So I'm afraid I can't really address your question. We might want to move on to something else or...
Yeah, I'm sorry. What was he a speaker? Or you're the actual host, I guess.
No, I'm the guest.
Oh, you're the guest, huh?
Yes, we've lost our host, and I don't know how this happened.
Yeah,
this
no
is,
kidding. The internet, I'm on the phone. Oh, but on the internet, he's off the internet. Also, I turned the internet back on. And he's disappeared from the internet. So I'm on the telephone with you, and he's gone.
I don't know. Maybe Homeland Security decided they had enough and decided to shut him down, although I don't know if
that's... His Lutheran business is rough stuff, I can tell you that. I've been going to the church for years.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation,
hey,
and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases,
Did Skype go down on you?
Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic
world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible.
Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants, and wars, secret societies, the new world order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom. History, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web 24 hours a day at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091.
Okay, Ken. Yes, we are in the last couple of minutes of Mark Dankos America. I apologize for the technological glitch that we had that was plaguing both the folks at my studio at Round Rock as well as myself here in San Antonio. But Greg Felton has been our guest today. Wanted to mention to several of the callers that I'm a very traditional conservative Lutheran pastor with a liturgical orientation. We also get into some interesting issues related to theology and culture and the political scene as it relates to a biblical worldview in the classes held at Emmanuel Lutheran Church, 9:15 in the morning on Sundays and 7 p.m. on Wednesday evenings. And again, that congregation is located at 130 Saipan Place in San Antonio. Greg, I apologize for leaving you in the lurch in the last few minutes here because of this technological glitch. Where do you think things are headed as we approach the 1st of September?
Well, I say I don't see a lot of change taking place immediately from our present condition. I mean, the problem that we have is a lot of the difficulties we have are being kept under the surface and are invisible. They're not discussed. And I think, if anything, the people listening to this show, if they could just simply do what happened in network, throw out your television sets. Don't read your newspapers. Think for yourselves. Go back to books, good books, not written by the propagandists, written by intelligent people, and start thinking for yourselves, because that's the last thing that Bush and the junta want, is for an informed electorate. Because really what we're seeing now is the final destruction of the idea of citizenship, the idea of people being intelligent and being able to think for themselves. We are being reduced to consumers. We are just cogs in an economic machine. We are being kept ignorant and occupied and busy, too busy to think for ourselves. And that's the problem that we have right now. We just have to start thinking and stop accepting the frame of reference that we're given.
Yeah, and I think that gets back to a recognition of who it is that owns the corporate media conglomerates, and it involves a deliberate effort on the part of everyone to set aside some time to read and to think and to find the responsible alternative sources of information that are out there. Online and through alternative publishing companies where the truth is still there and where good data can be found. You just have to do a little bit of work to find it.
Yep. As I say, let's hope that this represents the end of mass media. Because without mass media, propaganda and tyranny could not possibly happen. Hitler relied on mass media. The first thing Lenin did after coming back from exile was to set up a propaganda organ, Iskra, meaning spark. And if you look at Fox or the New York Times, Washington